Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 15, verses 7 to 16. John chapter 15, verses 7 to 16. Now keep in mind this topic as we study, answered prayer for fruit. Let's read John chapter 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now you'll notice right away that in the beginning of this passage, and at the end of this passage, there is a promise of answered prayer. At the beginning he said here, in verse 7, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And then in verse 16, he finished by saying, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So here is a prayer promise. So what we're looking for is answered prayer from God for something. And in this case, the whole context has to do with producing fruit. In verse 8, he says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And then he said in verse 16, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So this is a prayer promise for fruit. You could look at it that way. A prayer promise for fruit, or answered prayer for fruit. The deal is, in this particular passage of Scripture, you need to be careful that you're not looking for the method of salvation in this passage. The whole context has to do with a prayer promise and the production of fruit. And it doesn't have to do with how to be saved. In other words, he says, ye are my friends in verse 14, if you do whatsoever I command you. In other words, you're not my friend if you don't. Therefore, you're not saved. You're not my child if you don't do what I command you. And therefore, for you to be saved, you have to keep his commandments. You see how tangled up that can be? It's difficult sometimes for people who don't believe that when the Lord saves you, he keeps you until you arrive at home with him in heaven. It's difficult when they get to a passage like this because they want to force this passage to deal with the ability of a man to lose his salvation, and the context has nothing to do with how to get saved or how to keep saved. It has to do with producing fruit and the promise of God to answer prayer that concerns whatsoever you will and whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, that deals with the subject matter here. Now, there are other passages of Scripture that also give you prayer promises about other things. But let's stick with the context and let's stick with what's going on here. Now notice there are some conditions. Notice in verse 7, if. See that? That's a conditional word. Verse 10, if. That's a conditional word. Notice again in verse 14, if. That's a conditional word. That is, some of the things that are going on concerning the Lord's love and your friendship and your fruit production and the answer to prayer have to do with certain things going on in your life. Notice, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then here's the prayer promise. Notice again in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. A condition for abiding in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, you're my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. So a condition of friendship based upon doing something the Lord commanded you to do. So these conditional verses show us some of the limitations or some of the requirements for the things that are associated with answered prayer and fruit production and the things that come from that, some of the qualifications for that are in John chapter 15. Peculiar chapter, but one that's good nonetheless. And I'll give you an example. You probably know somebody that professes to be saved, and you might have known when they got saved. In other words, you saw the changes in their life. Let's say maybe they were, committing certain kinds of sins. They got saved. All of a sudden, they left the places where they were going to commit these sins. They started going to church. They made friends of God's people. Their life began to change. Their heart changed. Their mouth changed. Their attitude changed. Their motive changed. All of a sudden, they're reading their Bible instead of some of the kind of trash they read before. All of a sudden, they're concerned about lost souls where they couldn't care whether somebody went to hell or not. You know, really saw a life change in them. And all of a sudden, pressure by the world, bitterness came in, a bad experience in the church, pastor messed up, all those kind of things. And now all of a sudden, their life doesn't demonstrate the change that had been demonstrated before when they got saved. Some people say, okay, they're backslidden. Some people go so far as to say they never got saved. Some people say, well, they were saved, but now they lost their salvation. Whatever the case, here you now all of a sudden see that they're not in this concern for souls. They're not concerned about going to church. They don't express any love for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're starting to cuss again. They're starting to, rather than give their money to the Lord, they're giving it to the devil and his works and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Have you ever seen anybody that was in a case like that, on fire for God and then off fire for God? Have you ever seen them concerned about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ or maintaining a good friendship and fellowship with the Lord? Or have you ever been seen them burdened at all about keeping the Lord's commandments? Or, more importantly, have you ever seen them burdened for lost souls and making an attempt to win souls to Jesus Christ? And the answer is, no, you haven't. When a person gets into a condition where he is that far backslidden, when he's no longer on fire for God, he's not concerned about those things. He's concerned about the world. He's concerned about his job. He's concerned about his family. He's concerned about money. He's concerned about pleasures. He's concerned about what he's going to do for vacation. But he is not concerned about lost souls going to hell or producing any fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ or being connected in the right church or having great fellowship with Jesus Christ. Why is that? That is because in this passage you see there are certain conditions to the good fruit production. There are certain conditions to the good loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are conditions to a great friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you know that in your life and in my life, God's purpose is expressed here. I saved you. Okay, great. I don't have to go to hell. Okay, great. So why didn't he just rapture us and take us right on to heaven right then? Leave a few preachers around here to win a few more souls. A lot of people have the attitude it's the preacher's job anyway. Let's just pay him the money and let him go win the souls, and we'll come here and sit in this comfortable pew and suck up the air conditioner. You know how people are. Why didn't he just take us home to heaven right after that? I mean, just let the Holy Spirit do the work. Whatever. Well, the reason is he is interested in every one of us being fruitful. He told Adam and Eve when they were there in the Garden of Eden, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. Noah and his wife, his three boys and their wives, got off the boat. God said to Noah and his wife and their children and their wives, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. It's a very natural thing. In the earth, you take a seed, stick it in the ground. What'd you do that for? The purpose of that thing was that it may bring forth fruit. Some of you are planting your fall garden. What's the purpose of that? The purpose of that is because you want it to bring forth fruit. The natural process of anything in the earth, both human, animal, fish and fowl, creeping thing, grass, herb, tree, whatever, that whole process of nature started by God is fruit production. And for us as Christians, God leaves us here because the natural process is he wants us to bring forth fruit to God. Now, this passage is about that. And to let you know that it's not your work, it's God's work, he gives you a promise that he will answer your prayers concerning fruit production. Watch. Watch the whole thing. He said, number one, in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now, if you abide in me, okay, we talked about that Friday, all that stuff about being in the vine. This is the context of this thing. And if you abide in Christ, a good example of that is a person that's saved. You get saved, he hooks you up to the vine. And now you abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, my words abide in you. I've never seen a fruitful Christian who wasn't in church on their knees and in their Bible. I never have. I never will. You know why? If God's words are not abiding in you, you're never going to produce fruit. And if God's words are not abiding in you, you're not going to spend a great deal of time praying about anything until you meet with an emergency. I mean, you drive down the freeway and all of a sudden some car spins out in front of you. You utter a prayer. What is it? Oh, my God! It's about all you know how to pray. What is that all about? That's what the condition of people. If they're not hooked into Jesus Christ and the words of God are not abiding in them, they're not even the least bit concerned about praying over matters. They deal with everything as a natural man. They're only concerned when their child ends up in the hospital, and then all of a sudden it's a crisis, you know, and they have learned a very bad habit. They think that prayer is the last extremity and not the first necessity. But if God's words abide in you, and you start asking what you will, it'll be done unto you. Why? Because the Father is glorified in this stuff. Now, the words abide in you. Well, he makes mention of those words in verse 10. He said, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Well, he tells you at least what one of those commandments is in verse 12. He said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Change the deal. The old commandment was, love one another as you love yourself. Now, he's changed it, that you love one another as I have loved you. Definition, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The way Jesus Christ loved us is totally self-sacrificially. He gave up everything for us, that we might be saved. He left all of that glory so that you and I could have all of the benefits here and hereafter of eternal redemption, adoption, sonship, the whole thing, grace of God given to us free of charge because of his love for us. And he defined that thing. And then he says, like down here in verse 14, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. So when he said, if my words abide in you, he didn't just mean that you take a cursory glance from time to time or read your favorite verse of scripture, a little psalm or a little devotional book, and then go off on your deal willy-nilly and come home at night and watch a 2.5-hour movie. When he said, if my words abide in you, he said, verse 14, if you do whatsoever I command you, like James said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So there's the condition. First of all, you got to be in Christ. All right, we talked about that thoroughly on Friday. You get saved. And then those words have to start abiding in you. You attend preaching services where the words can abide in you. You attend classes, teaching, like Sunday school, Wednesday night, whatever, so the words can be taught to you. You abide in the commandments. The main one in the passage is that you love one another, and it is defined as greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so you've got to be of a willing service heart. You got to be willing to expend yourself for the benefit of others. Paul really complimented the Macedonian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, who gave such a great gift to help the poor saints back in Jerusalem when they had gone through a great trial of affliction and deep poverty. It abounded under the riches of their liberality and the abundance of their joy. They gave a big gift, considering the fact that they had nothing to give. When Paul came over there to pick up the gift, he said, they didn't just give us the money. They gave us their own souls besides. They gave us their own selves. And that's the type of love that Jesus Christ is talking about in this passage of Scripture. You give yourself. And if in giving yourself, that means giving some time, giving some money, giving you know, some service, whatever, okay. But you give yourself to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's sort of an unusual thing these days. I've noticed that. I've noticed that among churches. I've noticed that among Christians. That it's very, very hard today for people to just have that mind that says, I'm in the body of Christ and I'm going to do whatever I possibly can to demonstrate my love for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suppose part of that is the apostasy we're in. I suppose part of that is that a lot of people have trampled on that love and come in and taken advantage of it. I suppose there's a lot of bitterness and anger that goes along with it, and a lot of people are not having good fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the love of God is not shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. Nonetheless, that's a very big introduction to this thing. Basically, we're going to see five reasons why God would want to offer this prayer promise to you so that you could bring forth fruit. Ask whatsoever you will, it should be done unto you. Verse 7 says, verse 16 says, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, if I'm sincerely interested in doing everything that I possibly can for you, and if I'm sincerely interested in bringing forth fruit to the Lord God, when I talk to God about things that I can do to help you, when I talk to God the Father about things that I can do to bring forth fruit for him, Jesus Christ is saying, you talk to my Father about those things in my name, we'll do anything you want to help you get more fruit and to help you love your brothers as I've commanded you. I mean, didn't Jesus Christ go to Gethsemane and talk to his Father about being able to go through the cross? He said, I don't want this, but I'll do your will. And God gave him the grace and the ministry of an angel to help him right there so that he could do it. And he did it. So why would God be inclined to answer these prayers? Well, it's pretty obvious that God would if we're doing something like that, but Jesus Christ explains in verse 8, the first reason that God would offer a prayer promise for fruit like that is because when we ask for things to help us produce fruit, we glorify the Father. Look at verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Why, all of us, if we really have the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, want to do something to bring forth glory to the Father, don't you? Surely you do if Jesus Christ is in there. Well, here's one of the ways. You can glorify God when you bear much fruit. And he says, so shall you be my disciples. So when you talk to God the Father about equipping you with something from this word or something financially or whatever it may be to help bring forth fruit to him, you talk to God the Father about that. He'll do anything that you want him to in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to make yourself a more fruit-producing Christian. He'll do that. He absolutely will. Because the Father is glorified when ye bear much fruit. Now I'm going to ask you something. How much time do you spend talking to God the Father about becoming a more fruitful Christian? Now, the best way, of course, to bear fruit is to put out the Word of God. Preach it, teach it, track form with it, give out Bibles, give out videos of sermons, the whole thing. Give out tapes, talk to people out of your word of mouth. And to tell them about Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said wherever you're putting out that word, he promised in Isaiah 55:11 that word would not return void. Well, you can see how it relates to verse 7. If the words are not abiding in you, you don't have anything to put out. You see? If you don't have enough love for your friends, and if you don't have enough love for people motivated by the Lord Jesus Christ to tell them about their eternity, there ain't going to be no fruit. You see? So God obviously wants us to talk to him about these matters so that he can give us what we need. The burden, the yoke, the grace, the Bibles, the equipment, the videos, the right information, the testimony. He'll give you all of that stuff to help you bear fruit. The door of effectual. I mean, a place to do this. People with whom to do it. The contacts. You know, Walter Wilson, years ago, he's dead now, was a doctor. He used to pray, God, I'm going to bump into people today as a doctor, and I want to be able to talk to them about Jesus Christ. Put somebody in my path you're dealing with. Give me the words to say and discernment of heart so I'll know exactly what to tell them to help them find Christ. And that man led thousands of souls to Christ. How did he do it? Because he was such a great soul winner? No, he just tapped to ask God about it according to this text, and God answered his prayer. It's a promise. But why else would he do it? Well, he'd do it according to verse 9, so we could abide in his love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. God wants to do that so that we can abide in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people will tell me when they really get in a backslidden condition, I think God's a million miles away. Actually, he's not. He's still inside of you, because he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But the problem is, the feeling of separation is there because there's no fellowship with his love. They're not abiding in his love. And you're fooling yourself if you think you're abiding in God's love and you're not doing what he asked you to do. I'm fooling myself the same way. If I believe I'm abiding in his love and I'm not doing what he told me to do, that's not true, see? We don't abide in his love till, according to this text, we're doing what he told us to do. So there's a prayer promise for fruit because, number one, the Father is glorified when we bring forth much fruit and we abide in his love. Listen, I can't think of anything that I've ever enjoyed on this side of eternity that I want more than to abide in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't say that because I want to sound so spiritual. The truth of the matter is, I've tried out a lot of those other things. I tried out the pleasures of the world and found them to be the pleasures of sin for a season. I got weary with those things, or the cost was too high, or the addiction was too great, or whatever it might be, and I said, I don't want that anymore. I want something that I can enjoy. And over the years, through putting into practice these things that you hear, and these things that you see in the Bible, I've learned that the one thing I want more than anything else on this side of eternity is the ability to abide in the love of God Almighty and in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way to ensure that you can abide in his love is to be a fruitful Christian. And the way to be sure that you can be a fruitful Christian is to ask God the Father to give you what you need so that you can bring forth that fruit and enjoy that love. It's a wonderful text. I mean, a wonderful text. You say, well, I don't love the Lord that much. And then ask him to give you that kind of love. He said, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Have you ever asked him about that? All right, now the third thing he promises here is not only that when we bring forth fruit through this prayer promise, not only do we glorify the Father, not only do we abide in his love, but according to verse 11, we abide in his joy. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The one thing that I hear, and the one thing that I see, that characterizes modern-day Christianity is sadness and depression. One of the most shocking things I ever heard was a pastor that took over a church, and he was a psychiatrist. In other words, he was licensed, and he was, so as a psychiatrist, he could prescribe drugs, and he was a counselor. And he began to counsel with all the folks in the congregation and preach a lot on the, you know, the psychological things that he found in the Bible. And before long, I heard from his deacon that half of the congregation was on antidepressants. That is a shock, man. That is a shock. But you know why? They didn't have the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, now look, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to have my love. I want you to glorify my Father. And I'm telling you all this so that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And a lot of people don't have the strength today because they don't have the joy. Well, what's the problem? Probably too stuck on themselves. Probably too consumed with the problems of the day, the financial difficulties of the day. Oh, bad marriage they got into, trouble with the kids, trouble at the job, something like that has got them down. Well, any time that happens, the attention goes off of the Lord Jesus Christ and onto the problems. The affection are no longer set on things above. They are set on things on the earth, and you know what happens there? Trouble. So Jesus Christ said, I am going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you that my Father and I will do anything that you want us to do if you talk to him about it and ask him in our name to help you be more fruitful. And if you will dedicate your time to bringing forth fruit to my Father, I'll allow you in that production to glorify him, to abide in our love, and to have my joy so that my joy in you will be full. Well, let me tell you something. I want to be a happy Christian. And if this is what it takes in order to be a happy Christian, I'm going to follow God's formula. I'm not going to worry about all the books that I can buy down there at the Christian bookstore that say how to have joy in God, and you get all this touchy-feely psychology that's interlaced with a few scriptures to get your mind all gushy-wooshy and feely-feely and touchy-touchy over the stuff. Great to be able to touchy-feely and have all that, but real joy is something that you can even experience in the absence of stimulation. tribulation and in the absence of happy circumstances. Real joy is something you can experience in times of affliction. And the way to have it is to follow this, but that's not all. By bearing fruit through these answers to prayer, we glorify the Father, abide in His love, abide in His joy, and not only that, we maintain His friendship. Look at verse 14. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Well, I'll tell you what, I'd rather have Jesus Christ as a friend than any friend in the world. The Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Well, that's the friend I want. We have a song we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. You know something? People say, one man and God is a majority. Well, God is a majority by himself, but if you can link up with him in a great friendship and then you've got a sudden need and you could talk to your friend about it without, you know, having to confess a million sins that took place between the time you last talked to Jesus and this time, you know how all that goes. Well, you just talk to him right away. He'll jump to it, man, and take care of it for you right now. Why? That's the thing that brings him glory. That's the thing that demonstrates his love. That's the thing that gives you joy. We maintain his friendship. Aren't you happy to be able to tell somebody else you work with, my best friend in this whole world is Jesus Christ? That's the way to have it. But not only that, listen, he said, verse 16, he said, look, folks, he said this, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you. Now, that's not predestination. You got saved, and then what did he say? I chose you. What did I chose you to do? And obtained you, what to do what? That you should go and bring forth fruit. And not only that, but that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Okay, I got it. Then the reason he's given us this prayer promise, as long as we're willing to abide in his words and love one another and that kind of stuff, is that he wants, this is what he chose us for in the first place. That's what I ask you that question. Why did God leave us here? He left you here because he made a choice that once he saved you, he wanted you to perform the same servant's heart toward others as he did towards you and go out and try to win them to Jesus Christ. That's your calling. You say, I know God left me down here for something. People have told me that all the time. I know God left me down here for something. You better believe he did. He left you down here because he chose you to bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And he gave you a prayer promise so you wouldn't have to rely upon yourself. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it you. Are you willing to take him up on it? Well, you got a great promise if you will, and I pray that you will.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.